Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Christian Crusaders radio and internet ministry on this glorious Easter morning. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. If you would like a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please listen at the close of our program for ordering information. Thank you for joining us today, and please come back again for worship with us.
It is God who has revealed that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We'll talk about that in the sermon today. We hope you'll continue to join us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that at the very center of our Christian faith stands the message of the glorious resurrection, that you have won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. In that message of the resurrection, we have peace and joy to walk through this life, knowing when these days are over, we shall live with you forever in the kingdom of heaven, to know you in person as a blessed Redeemer. For your love and for your coming into this world to suffer and to die for us, only to be raised again, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Alleluia, 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 Christ the Lord is risen again.
Friends in Christ, we celebrate another Easter Sunday. Once again, we have the opportunity to share the greatest message ever to be heard by humans. It is a message that has come from God, revealing to all people his love and power over sin, death, and the devil. The person that I wish could tell us a story today cannot be with us in person, but he has left his inspired commentary on Jesus' resurrection. That person is the Apostle Paul, and his commentary on the resurrection of Jesus Christ can be found in practically any bookstore, for it has found its way into the New Testament in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. But before we turn to Paul's commentary on Jesus' resurrection, let us read it first as St. Mark has recorded it in his gospel. Here it is. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now to 1 Corinthians 15, where St. Paul writes regarding this experience of Jesus being raised from the dead. "I received this gospel, which I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you only firmly believe in the word which I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." This is a real mouthful. First, Paul wants them to know that he had received the gospel. It wasn't something that he had just learned by research or by someone else telling him, or by meeting with Peter somewhere and this dynamic personality got into Saul's head. No, it was revealed to him from God. And then he went and he preached it in these little churches that were all around the area. And one of them was in Corinth. There he established this church, and every Sunday he would tell them about Christ and what Christ had done for them. And you believed it. And you stood on this. And you still stand on it, if you're holding firmly to the word of God. Otherwise, all that you went through as far as the Christian faith is concerned is not in vain. For it all centers in Christ and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's go back a little bit farther. Paul, who was then known as Saul, often Saul of Tarsus, had heard about Jesus. He had been tried by Pontius Pilate in an unjust court. He had been persecuted by the religious leaders. Finally, he was sentenced to be crucified at Calvary. But now his followers were teaching that he had been raised from the dead. That was too much. Many of them were being won as believers for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, became convinced that that little sect had to be stopped, and he wanted to be a part of the group who was going to stop it. He wanted to stop the Christian faith from growing one person more. So he went to a high priest, and he asked for letters, that he might go to a place in and around Damascus, for there was a colony of people there who believed in Jesus Christ. And the papers read that he could go and he could bring back to Jerusalem for persecution those who were followers of the way, whether they were men or women, and he might take them as prisoners. So with the permission that was granted, Saul of Tarsus was on his way. He had a company of people with him, but on the way, as they neared Damascus, suddenly there was a great flash of light. You can read all about that in Acts 9. And suddenly came down out of the heavens, and there was a voice that said to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul answered back, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." And so Saul got up, but he couldn't see. And he asked them if they had heard the voices too, and the people around him said no, they were speechless. But one thing they knew was that he had to be helped. So they helped their superior into the city. While all of that was going on in the town of Damascus, there was a fellow by the name of Ananias. And the Lord had a word for him, and he gave him a vision, and he said, "Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, and you ask there for a man named Saul. He is blind. He's absolutely blind. He's scared stiff. He's praying. And Ananias, what I want you to do there in that home of Judas is to first restore his sight. And after you have done that, I want you to sit down and talk to him about my way of salvation." Ananias was hesitant because he had heard about Saul, but the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for me." So Ananias found Saul, and he talked to him about Jesus. And when he was convinced that Saul really believed in Jesus, he baptized him. And then he stayed around Damascus for a few days and began to preach in the synagogue that Jesus is the Son of God. His message was so powerful that the Jews there decided to kill him. He was a man who had come to take the Christians in Damascus back to Jerusalem, and he had become one himself, a very dynamic person. But the friends of Saul of Tarsus got a hold of him and got him out of the city and on his way back to Jerusalem so that he would not be murdered there by those people in Damascus. Finally, when he got back to Jerusalem, the disciples of our Lord did not want to receive him either. They were afraid of him. This was the fellow who was going to destroy the church as sure as preaching. And it is on the basis of this experience that Saul, who we now will refer to as Paul, could say to the Christians, "That was my experience. I saw Jesus. Jesus Christ was physically raised from the dead, not spiritually raised, but physically raised." And he says, "Brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand." Paul emphasized, and I'm being repetitious here, that he had received this message. It was not something that he had made up. He had not learned it from others. Christ had appeared to Paul, and Paul gives the Corinthians and the world, including us, this commentary in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And on that commentary are the basics, and Paul never left them. Some days ago, I read a report of one of our nation's largest investment companies. It came from the pen of an officer where he was pointing out to the readers the future of their company. Says this CEO, "Our history is rooted in those basic from which we have not strayed." He wanted those who had invested in stocks and bonds that their company, which had also experienced great losses and still had a solid foundation. And on this foundation, on those principles, they would build their business back, and it would be better in the future than it had ever been. Now, I know little about this company, and my point is not to enter the financial world of which I know little, but I like this statement. Our company is rooted in those sound basics from which we have not strayed and from which we will not stray, no matter what happens. Paul, in his commentary of 1 Corinthians, gave the basics of our Christian faith. Listen to these glorious words. "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." See, these are the basics. They are the first importance. That Christ died for our sins. That's the crucifixion. That he was buried. That's the resurrection and the event that preceded it. And then on that third day, he came forth from the tomb, buried there by Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man who laid the body in the tomb. Now, these are the basics that we who are Christians, as individuals and as a church, pass on to the world on this glorious Easter Sunday and every single day of the week. To all people, we are carriers of the message of the resurrection, whether that's to the families, to the communities, to the nation, or to the elected leaders. Leaders who are on the local scene, the state scene, and the national scene. Our only hope and our only true salvation is Jesus Christ, crucified but risen from the dead. And we are told that we are to pass it on too. God passed it on to Paul. Paul passes it on to the church. The church passes it on to us, and we are to continue with that same mission. Within the year, I attended a meeting of men who had invited a leader of the Muslim faith to tell us what he really believed in his religion. He was an educated gentleman, expressed his convictions well, and was very positive in what he believed. One had to respect him for this. He has this right in our nation. After this presentation, each man who was in attendance had the privilege of asking him a question. Now, the questions that were asked were basically not confrontational, but dealt primarily with the religious customs in their homes, what relationship their religion had in his teaching on the war in Iraq, how his religion taught regarding women. So the questions went on, and when it was my turn, I tried to be kind and shared with him appreciation for those things that we at least have in common. And there were some. But there was one important part that I wondered about. And he said, "Tell me, what is it?" I said, "You never mention a Savior. Don't you have a Savior? I am a sinner. And I have a Savior who has died and has been raised to pay the price for my sins. Through faith in this Savior who is Jesus, I have the forgiveness of my sin and the promise that I can live in a relationship with Him. The speakers said that in their religion, they had another way to deal with their sin, and I couldn't quite understand it. But evidently, it does not call for a Savior. The questioning went on, and when we left the room, one of my friends who had been listening too grabbed my hand and thanked me for my question, the question that I asked a speaker. He said, "I'm like you. I need a Savior." Yes, we all need a Savior. In this perilous time, Jesus, the risen Lord, walks with us. We build our lives, our families, and I would pray, but I am not sure it is true, our nation on the risen Lord. He alone can heal our storms of life. And He is the one who comes to us today as He came to His disciples of old and says, "Come with me. Come, let us go by ourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Don't you love that? There's the living Lord who tries to take us out of the conflicts that are surrounding us in this world and the turmoil and the strife, the immorality that weighs us down, and says, "Come. Come and we'll get some rest." Think of it. The risen Lord who appeared to the people during the Civil War was with the boys in World War II and their parents and loved ones they left behind, was present in Korea and Vietnam, and today in Iraq and Afghanistan. A lot of turmoil here, people. He's with families who today may be experiencing good health. Tomorrow, it may be sickness and death. Today, it's a good news that all is well. Tomorrow, it's not well. Families where there are broken relationships and they do not talk with one another. He is a living Lord. The risen Lord who on this Easter says, "Come," make it more than just a celebration in your church with all of the niceties that go on, and thank God for that. But come to a quiet place and think about what Easter is in 2009 for you in your circumstance, whatever it may be. I am here. I am with you. I have come forth from the tomb. I live. Yes, friend, it's another Easter. And we need those Easters. And every day needs to be an Easter to assure us that Jesus Christ is not just another man. He lives, and He wants to live in our hearts. Amen.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What joy the blessed assurance gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my everlasting head. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives and I shall conquer.
He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives a glory to his name. He lives my Savior still. What joy the blessed assurance gives. I know that my Redeemer lives.
Father, we confess that like the women left the tomb, frightened, astonished, and not knowing which way to turn, so we find ourselves day in and day out. We pray that in these hours, when we know not which way to turn, that we may hear you, for you are our living Lord. You no longer rest in the tomb, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that revelation that you gave to the women, the revelation that you gave to the disciples and to many others, and finally to Paul. As his life was turned around from a skeptic to a believer, so we pray we too may experience that daily conversion as you draw us closer to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We wish all of you a very blessed Easter and pray that today's message has filled you with the joy of the resurrection. As we celebrate the Lord's victory over sin, death, and the devil, we are reminded of how important it is for those who are homebound to be able to worship. Christian Crusaders provides that service for many who are unable to attend church. As a nonprofit ministry, we depend upon gifts from our listeners in order to pay our broadcast costs. If you are able, please consider a contribution to our ministry. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can help share the word of Christ and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. For a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Visit us on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. You can also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth each Sunday for the past 73 years.